Blog Talk Radio.
Today's segment of the A New Day Show. And today it is indeed going to be a new day. Not only is it going to be a new day, it will be the first day when you make the decision that you want to transform your life. I want to thank the caller that's on the line already. I want to thank the people who are in the chat room. You know, I just appreciate you guys coming out to support me this morning. I really do not take it for granted every time I see someone turn up, because I know that you could have made the decision to spend your valuable time elsewhere. However, you make the decision that you want to spend it with me. And for that, I am honored and I am so privileged. Oh, I am so excited about today's segment. My honored guest who's been hanging out in the virtual green room with me is coming to us all the way from Hawaii. However, before I bring Mr. Brian D. Ridgeway on, I want to just do a couple of housekeeping. And in the meantime, when I'm doing my housekeeping, I want for you to grab your pen and pad so that you can jot down some important points, because today is a day of transformation. Today is a day when you'll be taking action, when you tell yourself, enough is enough. I'm tired of settling. I'm ready to get unstuck. So get your pens and paper. I want to remind you and also encourage you to call in 646-915-8166. Tweet your friends, call your uncle, call your enemy, everybody who you have not spoken to since last Christmas. You call them up and tell them this is the place that they need to be this morning or this afternoon, or depending on what part of the world you're calling from. Because this is a segment that they do not want to. Yes, they can hear it on the archive, but they can also get the first dose of it live. So encourage everyone you know to come on. Cynthia Nuggles, thank you for coming. Guest 318, thank you for coming. Guest 325, thank you for coming. And caller with the last four digits, 2784, thank you so much for turning up. So I want to remind you, call in. Call in and get your question answered. So, Without any further delay, I want to take this privilege to welcome my new friend, my new colleague, my new brother, Mr. Brian D. Redway, to the show. Brian, good morning.
Hello and good morning, Dr. D.
How are you? Thanks for waking up so early, man. What time is it in Hawaii?
It's right at 4 a.m.
4 a.m. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I tell you, Brian, I am still thanking Willie. I think I have to go buy Willie dinner because it's just a little bit over a week ago I met you. And since I met you and since I've listened to your webinar, my life is not the same. And I tell you, I'm one of those people who really invest in me and in what I want to or choose to be. So I'm not one of the person who just sit down and say, I can't do anything for me. I've been doing that. I've worked alongside some of the most powerful speakers and coaches and mentors. And man, I've never met anybody like you. And all I can say, thanks for divine connection that we can now say we are colleagues and that we are brothers. So enough from me. I want to ask you, introduce yourself, tell people about who you are, and after that, we are going to go into your story about from homelessness to where you are now. But just tell people, set the page. Let them know who Brian is.
I'm very grateful to, and I'm really glad to have this time with you, Daphne. And I love you with all my heart. I appreciate what you shared and your transparency about it as well. So what I do is really unique. I don't know anyone else who does exactly what I do. The closest is I had a great mentor who assists people to wake up. And what I have found myself in the position of over the last few years and really culminating in the last 7 months is I help people to find out what they really are rather than making little incremental changes in their life, rather than trying to find what beliefs they have, rather than trying to learn a new technique to make a little incremental shift in one part of their life. I found out that if I can assist someone who really wants it, and that is the key word right there, want.
However, Brian, before you got this awakening and before the light bulb went off for you, let's go back to the beginning. Corporate America, religion, spirituality. Let's go way back from the beginning because people need to understand there are too many people out there who are leading people to believe that there's such thing as a microwave result. So I want you to set the page for the listener. Go back from the beginning. Yeah, I mean, you had multi-million dollar clients you used to work with. Let's talk about those days.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Daphne, I'll tell you something that happened about 5 minutes before this call. And you know, sometimes there's nothing like really being tired where you kind of almost are forced to relax a little bit. And I had a mini remembrance this morning of something I hadn't thought about for a long time. And that is, because I'm going to talk a lot about personal development when I tell my story, but something came up for me during the last 5 minutes before this call. I remember I was about 18 years old, so this would have been nearly 30 years ago, and about 27 years ago, I remember my first exposure to personal development, and it was Earl Nightingale, who a lot of people call him the godfather of the self-help and personal development movement. I was listening to a recording of him. Now, at that point in my life, I was about as low and in the gutter and in the dark as anyone could be. And no matter who you are listening right now, hearing this, I was lower than you could probably imagine, and I'll tell that story. But at any rate, at that low point in my life, I got exposed to this, and I remember hearing this recording by Earl Nightingale, and he was talking about when times are tough, don't go out looking for a job. Don't go out looking for what the world is going to give you. You find out what you can offer. Find a company that you'd really like to be a part of. Find an industry that you would like to contribute, that you're enthusiastic about, and go into that industry. Find out some things that nobody knows. Do a little bit of study and use your brain, and then go in and find a company and show them how you can solve their problem. Instead of, in other words, you go in and offer them something rather than going looking for a job. And I, you know, even in the dark, dark days, even in my lowest point in my life, I was drunk every day. I was high every day, back 17, 18, 19 years of age, and completely morally and emotionally in the dark. But I remember hearing those words and having a little intuition. It was almost like a whisper a million miles away that did I really hear that? It was something inside of me that said, someday you're going to be helping people to make people and companies to make massive shifts almost instantly. And it's so strange. That's been buried in me now for almost 30 years. It just came up in the couple of minutes before this call. So that's a great little intro to start with.
And that's amazing. That's amazing, because I strongly feel that the reason that came up is that someone who is on the line or who is going to be listening later need to hear that, because that's where they are right now. So it's no accident that you are listening to the show, whichever way you choose to listen to it to, that message was for you. And I want to thank your obedience in sharing that, Brian.
Absolutely. Well, see, and what you the thing you just touched right there, Dr. Daphne, that is literally, if there's one, you know, in case I should exit my body, what most people call dying, if that should happen in the next 3 minutes, I'm going to now say the single most important thing I'll ever get to say on this or any other interview, and that is learning to follow intuition, in my opinion, is the single most important thing that we can ever do. And I'll go a lot more deeply into that. Following it when that guidance comes up. I used to ignore it and force my way through, and I created a living hell for myself for many years.
Brian, just yesterday, over the weekend, I rented a lawnmower because my lawnmower broke. So yesterday, I took the lawnmower back, and my mechanic's shop is the next building to the lawnmower place. The previous day when I was reversing my car, there was a sound in the car, and my friend said to me, "Oh, you better get your car to the mechanic, because that sounds like the transmission." So what you know, I said to her, "Okay, I will take the car to the mechanic, because I have to go into town to take the lawnmower back." Immediately the man took my payment and said, "Thanks for your business." I put my hand on the lock of the door to get out of the rental place, and an intuition came and said, "Transmission fluid." So I turned around to the man and I said to him, "Do you sell transmission fluid?" He said, "Across the street." I said, "What do you mean across the street?" And he pointed to me which shop sold it. So I drove into my mechanic's shop and I said, "Hey, Al, what's up? Did you have a good holiday?" He said, "Yeah, how about you?" I said, "Fine." I said, "My car needs transmission fluid." He said, "Yeah, how you know?" I said, "It needs transmission fluid." He popped the hood, took the one out, wiped it off, put it back in, wipe it off again, as if you know how men doubt women sometimes. And he puts it back in there, and he said to me, "Go in the car, start it, put it in neutral and hold your foot on the brake because I must check it again." He told me to do that, and you know he came to the window to double check that I did what he told me. So when I got out the car, after he put the 2 quarts of transmission fluid in there, I came out and I looked at him and I said, I can't believe you doubted what I told you. And he looked at me and said, oh, I was just checking. I said, man, I'm no ordinary woman, so don't check behind me when I tell you something. So, I mean, if I didn't follow through and walk in there with an assurance and said it needed transmission fluid, maybe I would have paid for over $100 for them to check to find out what's wrong.
Yeah, or a couple thousand.
Yeah, yes, you know, so that's powerful. That is so powerful what you said. I want to just take a brief break, and I want to remind the callers, please call in. This is your time. It is not too early in the conversation for you to be part of it. I want you to call in. So in the meantime, I'm taking a brief commercial break.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, and if you're listening on the archive and if you're in the chat room, I want you to visit http://discovery.org, and you will see when you can hear more of what Brian is talking about today. So visit http://discovery.org, and you will get more information there. And believe it, the Vision Transformation Revolution Conference for Entrepreneurs and Small Business People is scheduled for March the 23rd through the 26th in New York City. And I tell you, we have a powerful, powerful lineup for you. So we are working on having the website launch prayerfully by next week. That's what I'm claiming and believing for. And then you are going to be so excited about the people who are on the platform. And one of the things that you can do for us now is to visit the fan page on Facebook. And it's the Vision Weekend Conference. So just go there. Once you've typed that in, it comes up on the top. It has an eagle on it. Looks like a fuchsia or a red. So support us. I've set a goal for 2,500 likes between now and the 15th of October. So make it happen, guys. Make it happen. Again, Earlene Pearson, thank you for coming in all the way from Trinidad and Tobago, my sister. You are indeed a great support. And I know this segment is going to be good for you because I know what you're working on. And this is your answer to help you facilitate the result that you want. So thank you. Guest 318 and Cynthia, thank you. I want to hear you guys call in, man. Call in. 646-915-8166. So back to my honored guest, Mr. Brian D. Ridgway out of Hawaii. You still there, Brian?
I am still here and still awake.
All right. So we're talking about 18 years old, where you were and what you heard. And even though you were not concentrating on it over these many years, it was buried in your subconscious. However, it chose to surface this morning, and we know that there's someone who needed to hear that, and we are just so thankful that you shared that.
Yes.
So, you want to talk about your corporate life a little bit, the years of successful sales?
You know, Dr. D, I'll tell you what I feel really probably is we all started at the beginning, so really going back to childhood and kind of setting that stage is probably the best starting point here.
Exactly. Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah, and then we'll come up through those details. All right, so I'm born into a fairly common situation, and as I say this, I want you to know that even as I explain the not too pleasant things, I've got a smile on my face today telling about it. So no sadness. There's no, oh, I wish it was different. None of that. But I was born to a 6'4", redheaded Irish, pretty angry man who had just gotten out of the military, and a mom who believed in scarcity and there's never enough, a lot of lack and a lot of fear, and really no kind of abundance mentality at all. There was no spirituality or religion whatsoever, neither of those two things. And I draw a big, big fat line between religion and spirituality for myself. Mm-hmm. And so there was neither of those in my family. And so my mom believed that life is hard and it's a struggle, and one of her favorite sayings was one step forward and two steps back. And so my dad didn't really, I mean, he just went out and made it happen. He worked, but he was angry pretty much all the time. And so he had a philosophy about what I was, an attitude about what I was, and an attitude about what life was. And I don't want to shock anybody, but I'm gonna say it bluntly. Ma'am?
Go ahead, say it, because people need to know.
Yeah, well, and this is just what it was. His lesson for me was two pieces. Number one, that I was a stupid, ugly, worthless piece of shit. Mm. And I was told that, like, hundreds of times. And the other thing was that I was just totally stupid. And here, this man came out of so much suffering that he literally believed life was a place of suffering. So what he told me was, he said, listen, I'm going to tell you how to avoid pain. You know, being that you're so stupid and that you're a stupid, ugly, worthless piece of shit, the best advice I can give you, boy, is find a big crowd. Never stand out. Never be, you know, try to be seen, but find the biggest crowd you can find, get in the middle, and duck. And that way you won't be a target. So wherever you go, find the crowd, get in the middle, and duck. Well, I was a little child learning. I didn't know. Okay, so he had a rough life. His dad abused him, and he was 6'4", redheaded, and Irish, so he stood out wherever he went. So yeah, I didn't have the clarity of thought to calculate all that as a little kid. But what I did was, I went through a lot of suffering at that time because there was a tremendous amount of violence, and he backed it up with mental, emotional, and physical violence. But around 14, I got involved with drugs and drinking and got involved with breaking the law and all that kind of stuff. And I did that for the next few years, just hanging out with that crowd. And then at 17, I started playing in a band. I became a professional musician at 17. I did that for about 15 years. And this is where most people really can't even relate to how in the dark I was. But I'm going to ask you, because of the things that come up later in the story, and I know that Dr. D is going to ask some great questions here. But as I entered that, I never was, you know, people say, where were you raised, right? They talk about being raised. Well, I was never raised. I was lowered as a kid. I never learned anything about money. I mean, nothing. All I knew about money was there wasn't enough, and no matter what you do, it's not fair, and it's one step forward and two steps back. And I remember all the lessons my mom said, and I remember hearing my mom and dad screaming and fighting about money when I was little, and I developed a lot of beliefs about money that were 99% of them unconscious, just like yours.
Mm.
So for the next 15 years as a musician, I chased women, which the guys around me, the male role models, that's what they showed me that life was. You chase women.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my beliefs about women and sex and relationships was from people who were completely in the dark on those topics. And my lessons about money, here's what I did as making money as a musician for 15 years. I smoked pot and I drank all day, or all night rather, and I partied and played music until the late hours, and I made enough money to live until the next week. So I would squeeze that money out until the next week when I was going to get paid again, so that I would be at zero. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody, but I was at zero the next week when it was time to get paid, and then I'd sleep all day and basically not do anything. So I avoided growing up in a way that is hard to imagine for most people, being able to live that way. So that's where I was until my early 30s.
Brian.
Yeah, bring it up.
Brian, hold on. I want to check with someone who's been holding on, and also the people in the chat room, because this might be a great time that someone wants to ask a question. So, caller, your last four digits are 2784. Do you have a question? Okay, well, I guess you do not have a question. You just want to listen. You can raise your hand when you have a question. For the people in the chat room, do you have a question? You can type it, or you please feel welcome to call in at 646-915-8166. Okay, no one has a question yet, so I will certainly attend to it when they have one. So continue, Brian.
Sure, and we're definitely here to answer those questions. And as I get into the next phase, this will probably open the door for more questions as well.
Yes.
All right, so in my early 30s, here I am, waking up and kind of tired of feeling terrible every morning, you know, from partying every night for 20 years, because I did it all through school and now for 15 years as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of people tell me, you know, Brian, you really like to communicate and you really ought to get into sales. Well, this is where really the next phase of the story comes in, because my dad, he didn't just tell me that I was a stupid, ugly, worthless piece of shit. He really focused on the stupid part. And so around 4 years of age, I learned how to read, and by six, I'll tell you what, you know, I definitely don't want to brag. It's not about that, but I was accused as a little child many times of being a genius. My mom actually got involved with someone who had some kind of a spiritual background. I remember hearing that when I was around three or four years of age, she consulted with someone because she thought I might have a demon, or, you know, her understanding was so limited because there was no religious or spiritual background. It was the only word she could think of is he possessed or something, because there's no child that knows the things that this kid knows and is able to speak, communicate at the level that this kid speaks at. And so at six, apparently I had a genius IQ, and I could read adult-level books and with full understanding when I was very, very young. So I started, because my dad taught me I was stupid, I decided to become a genius, kind of without knowing. I studied everything. I remember when I first, you know, discovered animals and started to think about it, I went through probably 500 adult-level animal books and books on zoology. It wasn't picture books, you know. I was into learning everything. And so I found out around 18, I started hanging out with a lot of geniuses, and I had several people say when I was 17 and 18 years old that I was, number one, I was the most knowledgeable person. Like, they would hang out with professors in their 80s and that I knew more than any of them. But they also said I was a complete obnoxious ass that was impossible to get along with. So that was a great summary. That was a great summary, because I was intellectually, I mean, I was a giant. There's no point, you know, for me to minimize it, right? But emotionally, I was bankrupt. I had no idea of how to get along with people. I was just arrogant and obnoxious. So now that comes into when I decided to get into sales, people said, Brian, you're so smart. You're so knowledgeable. You're such a great computer. You're a communicator. You're always like educating people and motivating them. You ought to get in sales. That'd be a way you could turn those skills into money. So I got into sales in my early 30s, and I immediately found out, Daphne, that I was unbelievable. I mean, I shocked people. I'd go to a company that had been in business 30, 40 years, and within 2 weeks, I was outselling consistently everybody at the company. And, like, breaking every record at the I did that everywhere I went. And it was it was literally effortless for me, except for one thing. Anyone who's ever touched sales, and I don't know if there's anyone listening now that's in the field of sales, but I have a personal belief that every one of us is in sales every minute of every day. And when you walk past the mirror and you glance at it and you frown, you're selling yourself on something. And when you walk past the mirror and you smile and you kind of, hey, you're selling yourself that everything's okay. And when you talk to your friends, you're selling them. And when you talk to your spouse and your child and your parents, and it, let alone in business, every minute of every day, I believe by definition we're selling either success or failure, happiness or sadness, more abundance or more lack with every thought we. And in the most important conversation that we ever have with ourselves, we're selling 24/7. So the
unconsciously.
Right on. You want to know what you're selling? Look at your results, and you'll
know
what you're selling.
That's right.
Yep. So then I did get into sales. I was incredibly successful, but, and this is a big ugly but right here, when I would go out to do my sales day, my low self-esteem, remember now, I'm a stupid, ugly, worthless piece of shit. That emanation and all the beliefs that surrounded that, okay, people don't laugh at my jokes, people don't listen when I talk, what I have to say is not that important, I'm probably never going to get anywhere, one step forward and two steps back, life isn't fair, rich people are selfish, greedy bastards, every single phrase that I had ever heard about money, every phrase that I had ever heard was unconsciously bubbling around inside of my gut. And I would go out, I would be in agony, Daphne. When I went out to work, I would be in literal emotional agony. I would drive out, and my sales career mostly consisted of walking in on businesses and making what they call the dreaded cold call, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where you walk in unannounced, and you get that person's interest, and you make a sale while you're there, or you don't. You know, that kind of
thing. Right.
And I literally would sit in my car some days and cry for hours in agony that I don't know, you know, if you can relate or not. Some part of your life you probably can, but this was my
career. Oh, yeah. I used to sell chemicals in Jamaica part-time. I used to work as a nurse, and on the evenings and weekend I sold chemicals. So I knew about that.
Okay, and in sales they call it either call reluctance or fear of rejection, right? And every salesperson on this planet, I believe, every salesperson on this planet feels that to some extent. And, you know, when you're tired, it's worse, whatever. But, well, so let me slip a little teaser in right here. In about 120 days, I'm going to be revealing and releasing into this earth the most advanced sales training that the world has ever seen. I'm not bragging. I'm saying I have solved call reluctance and fear of rejection by going to the core of it with a system that will enable anyone in the world to immediately release all of their low self-esteem, all of their self-doubt, literally like in minutes, and at the worst case within hours, to where the call reluctance and the fear of rejection disappears. And I did it for myself as well after all those years.
Wonderful.
Here I am. You know, I'm sitting in my car, Daphne, and I'm crying my eyes out. And then I get up and I walk through the door, and if I get that person's interest, I make a sale. And I might make a few hundred, I might make several thousand dollars. When it's over, I go and I get back in my car feeling terrified. When is the pain going to come? Yeah, I made the sale. I made the money. But when's the pain going to come? There was always this feeling. It was a feeling of I'm a fake. I'm worthless. And yeah, I succeeded. I slipped by for a minute. But when is the punch coming? And that's where I lived. When it got good, I said, oh, crap, when's the, you know, what's the next disaster? When I had a happy moment, I said, oh, my God, when is the stomp going to happen on my head? Because I know the pain is coming.
Wow.
And when things went bad, I said, okay, that's common. You know, that's the norm. That's ironic.
Yeah, that's what you expected. Right.
Yeah.
I want you to take a breather here, Brian. I want to piggyback on something that you said earlier on in this statement. You said that you heard people talk about raise, and you weren't raised, you were lowered. And I tell you, for years you hear people talk about raise, and we never categorize raise in a youth as an elevation. When people talk about raising, they are talking about your upbringing. But what a powerful way that you have shifted this. And you look over a lot of young people's lives, and even adults now, they weren't raised. They were lowered. And they are still keeping themselves low. So I am just so thankful that you have shed some light on that. If you're in the chat room, you can type your questions or call. If you're on the phone line and you want to say something, I think you touch the number one and it will raise your hand so that I know you have a question. And my honored guest is Mr. Brian D. Ridgway. And we are here talking about transformation, unstuck, taking responsibility, making choices, all that good stuff. So if you are here, you were divinely directed to be here for this segment. So thank you for turning up. Yes, Brian.
All right. So moving now into that business phase and the so-called success phase, because there's a lot of stuff that happened there. I became so good at sales that I could go out and make money at will. And I mean, it was like a fantasy. I could literally go out. I got involved with some very high ticket products to where the highest sales commission I ever made in a week was about $52,000 that I earned in a week.
Wow.
Many times I would go out in a day and make anywhere between $2,000 and $10,000. And I was in a couple of the companies I was involved with, I was able to actually get my commission that day. So it's really interesting because remember now, I told you the single most important thing that I'm going to say on this call, on this interview, is that your intuition and learning how to tap in and listen is the single most important thing available to you in this life, in my opinion, in my experience. We'll talk a lot more about that as we go
whether
further.
They call it gut feeling or hunch or whatever, but it is.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we get into trouble because we keep ignoring it.
Yes, that's where this is going. And check this out, Daphne. It's when you learn to listen to your hunches. Well, that, you know, that's all nice and good. But when you learn how to listen so consistently that you don't hear anything else, you get this revelation that if you want to call it the universe, that's okay with me. If you want to call it God, that's okay with me. If you have a name for God, that's okay with me. But when you learn that thing, that source of information that we are animated with, that is talking to us every second of every day, when we learn to shut those beliefs out and shut that mind off and listen to that string of intuition, life becomes an unending miracle beyond imagination. And that's the reason for it.
Someone in the chat room says that is excellent advice. So somebody already got what they paid for.
What a price, right? What a price. Thank God for Blog Talk Radio.
I'm telling you, this is powerful because it's the truth. A lot of times we keep running around looking for other people's approval of who we are and what we are supposed to be and all of that. When the buzzer inside of us is going, hello, I'm right here. Why are you ignoring me and going to those other knuckleheads to get approval? Hello?
But that's what right.
What we do. Somebody else says something. I want to read what she says. Thank God for you, Dr. D and Mr. Ridgway. This topic is just what I need. Addressing call reluctancy and fear of rejection. I enjoy listening. Thank you, Cynthia. And she says, amen and true to the last statement you made. Thanks, Cynthia, for that feedback. So, you know, there are no accidents.
Nope, no accidents. No accidents. It's, in fact, you know, when people say coincidence, like if I'm a big student of words, okay, and I find that we'll go through the story more and we'll just follow. This is pure intuition right here.
Mm-hmm.
I found in my early 20s, I had a spiritual experience that took me to a place where I started studying words, and I did it in a way that I'm going to guess maybe, you know, a few thousand people in the history of the planet have, at the most, have ever done anything like what I did. And mm-hmm. I went through dictionaries learning the roots of words and what the word actually means. And I remember two experiences happening simultaneously. And as I really feel to share it, because I'm going to talk about the word coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And what the caller, you know, just said, wow, this is exactly what I need. Okay, coincidence, right? And you just said there's no accident. Well, mm-hmm. when I went through this word clearing process, I had two experiences. One was I reached a level of clarity
mm-hmm.
in my own thinking, in my own mind, a level of clarity and lucidity and accuracy and
mm-hmm.
confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing. And at the same time that clarity was coming, its mirror was falling away, and that was the connotations that we have around words. I see it almost like tentacles that are
mm-hmm.
that are counterproductive. They're counter to positive, happy life, and they hold on to the word. And we'll probably do a couple examples of that later. But
mm-hmm.
let's just look at money real quickly. Okay, money. If you strip away all of your thoughts and all of your beliefs about the word, because I'm gonna challenge you now. If right now you don't have money showing up effortlessly, automatically, flowing like a river in and through your life with no attachment, if you don't have that happening right now, I promise you, you have attachments to the word money that have
mm-hmm.
They have nothing to do with money. And so, for example, rich people are greedy, selfish bastards.
That's right.
That's a belief that many of our parents held, not even knowing they had it. And they resented, and we got modeled by people around us who resented the wealthy. We have a government, and we have an educational system that puts down the wealthy. Now, did I just say that wealthy people are always kind and generous and thoughtful? No, but guess what?
That's right.
You know, but we're taught to demonize the wealthy, and then here we are wanting to have more wealth. And we've got all those tentacles about money. Oh, okay. So maybe in your religious or spiritual belief, maybe the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, you better get mighty clear about exactly what the phrase love of money means. I'm going to tell you right now, I love me some money, and there's nothing evil in my relationship with it. It's an effortless, flowing, beautiful thing. I give away half of what I get. I'm always sharing and loving, and it flows mm-hmm. through, and I have no problems with it anymore. It was when I didn't have none that money was hard, okay? So,
yes.
So let's bring that back to the word coincidence for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are fond of saying, well, there's no such thing as coincidence. I say, really? Maybe there's nothing but coincidence. Maybe this
mm-hmm.
universe is one coincidence.
Huh.
One completely together, indivisible, inseparable, constant miracle. And maybe that's why intuition is the most important thing in the universe, because it's the voice of that one. Whether you, again, you call it God, you call it Yahweh, I don't care what you call it. It's here and it's real and it's always on. And so when I learn to listen to that and to turn my mind off and to use my mind as a tool rather than letting it talk or do what you said, Daphne, listening to everybody else, hello, they're stuck. Mm-hmm. Most of them are stuck in their mind too.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not gonna listen to theirs.
If you messed up, you are looking for company, you know. What they say, they say, show me five of your closest friends and I can tell you who you are. And that's it. Because if you messed up and you go into somebody who's messed up, they say, man, just sit down. Sit with me. That's all we have to do. You know, the first time I heard you speak, Brian, you said something that just blew everything else I was hearing out in the water. You said, I grew up hearing that. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And you just put a wedge right, a hammer right, boom, and you smash that and you said, no. When the blinders fall off, the student will see the teacher that is always there. And isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep. That's how I experience it too.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So I want to again remind people, the number is 646-915-8166. And I want to remind you about the conference coming up March 23rd through the 26th in New York City. It's the Vision Transformation Revolution Conference for Entrepreneurs and Small Business People. And sign up our fan page on Facebook. We are looking to have a minimum of 2,500 likes by the 15th of October. So run on over there and tell all your friends you want to be in and what is happening. And so I go back to my honored guest, Mr. Brian Ridgway.
All right. Yeah, so now we can move on through the story from the sales phase. So here's what was happening, Dr. Daphne. I would go out and I would make all this money, and I would blow it as quickly as I possibly could. And I had some other people around me that were noticing this, and you know, Brian, you might want to like think about saving a little bit. I mean, it's cool you're making all that money, but like you're just like giving it and blowing it, and you're not keeping any of it. And I look back now and remember what I said now, one step forward and two steps back. Life is not fair. These were the beliefs I heard as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you do, it's never enough. And besides that, you're a stupid, ugly, worthless piece of shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here I was.
But who are you to have money? Why should you have money?
Mm. Yeah, who was I to have? I couldn't, but see, now I hadn't made that revelation yet, because that one was coming. And here's how it came. I started to make so much money that it was going to be hard to blow it all at one time. And I actually got involved with marketing. I had already been good at sales. I got involved in marketing, and I found out I was even better than that. So now, rather than going out and making a sale, I would go out and I would create an ad and put it in a trade publication, I could pick an industry. Again, this isn't bragging. Let me just say this for the next phase, for anybody that might feel anything that comes up. Listen, there's my favorite movie line from all time out of any movie is from Superman. There was a quote where he said, "It ain't bragging if you can do it."
Okay? That's right.
And I believe in a world where we are told over and over and over, don't blow your own horn. I say, you mind yours. I'll blow mine everywhere I want, as loud as I want. And if it bothers anybody, they'll tell me. And then I'll decide if I care that it bothered them. So I don't buy it. I mean, if you're going to grow and go anywhere, there was someone a little bit ago said, I need a little infusion on this call reluctance thing. Well, listen. if you got something good, if you don't have something good, drop it, walk away, and find something good. Don't spend 1 minute of your life doing something that you don't love, that you're not passionate about. And when your mind says, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, you say, bullshit. Just shut up, mind. I'm not here for a limited life. I'm here to have a blast, okay? So if you're not involved with something that you're passionate about, get out. But once you get involved in something you're passionate about, tell it from the rooftops. And the ones who tell you, oh, quiet down, they're not going anywhere.
Exactly, because, you know, my conversation always is, I know my story best. You know your story best. So you have your instrument. You've been practicing all over for many years how to play that instrument. You got to play it. You can, when your time come to play, you can't be calling somebody to say, play my instrument. That instrument is intimately intertwined into who you are. And this is why you got to play it. You got to tell your story. But we grew up in a society where we were programmed to, oh, no, don't do this. Don't brag. Don't talk. You know, good girls don't do this. Boys don't cry. All that stupidity. And we hold all these things for the rest of our life that hinders us. Call in 646-915-8166. My guest is on all the way from Hawaii. Okay, I want to welcome guest 394 to the chat. And the number you can call in is 646-915-8166. And feel free. Welcome to type your question in the chat room if you are in a situation where you cannot get on the phone now. Thank you. So you began making money so much that you weren't able to blow it all before the next paycheck comes up. And all of a sudden, when did it connect for you that I'm not a worthless piece of shit like my father said? When did you say, I am brilliant, I'm amazing, I'm wonderful, I'm infinite? When did you say all of that?
It was after 7 massive financial crashes.
Wow.
It took me 7 times, Dr. Daphne, and here's how that transpired. I got so good that, like I say, instead of making a sale, you know, I would create an ad, and I would run it in a magazine, pay a couple $1,000, and then collect those leads, drive them to a website where I had written some intelligent arguments about what I had, and I really positioned myself as an expert rather than a salesperson, so that by the time the person called me, rather than me walking through those doors, see, I had eliminated the call rejection. And I mean, the fear of rejection and call reluctance, because I was having people call me as an expert. I would go in as a paid consultant, charge $800 an hour, make a $50,000 to $100,000 sale effortlessly within a couple hours, and just make amazing, you know, $15,000, $20,000 commission for a couple hours' work over and over and over. So I started to make bigger money. I found partners. I would find a company that had something to sell. I never was an employee, never been an employee in my life, and I basically created money out of thin air everywhere I went. And I got to where now I was playing with hundreds of thousands and millions as opposed to making a couple thousand here and there. Well, so I found this Taiwanese company, and I generated several million dollars, and I brought them a multi-billion dollar corporation. I brought them a deal with a multi-billion dollar corporation, and they immediately began working on how to cut me out. Like, they were grateful enough to immediately start finding out how to cut me out of the deal. So I had brought them a couple million dollars in sales. We had about $500 million. Like, we could have all gone to the beach for the rest of our lives. And then and the company decided to cut me out of the deal. So they went to the product company that I brought them and said, oh, you know, he's not with us anymore and we'll handle this for you. Well, they lost the deal for me and them, and they took me for over $100,000.
Wow. Greedy.
Well, you know something, Dr. Daffy? Honestly, listen, I would have agreed with that. I would have agreed with that back then.
Ah.
But today, here's the thing. Number one, I believe that people do what they feel they have to do.
Ah.
And that if I put a label on it at I imprison myself when I imprison them. It's very easy to do for me. You know, I can still do it. It's easy. But the thing is that if I put a label on it, I imprison me and them. So as I look back, here's the miracle of it.
Wow.
All right, here's the miracle of it. So, hey, you know what? Again, I told you I put a big fat line between religion and spirituality, but I do believe in the wisdom of the greatest books on this planet. And the Bible is definitely, from where I sit,
yep.
I'm not making this true for anyone else. From where I sit, the Bible is one of those great books. And in that phrase, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." I talk to a lot of people who say, "Well, that means that when you judge, God judges you." But when I look at it, that's not what it says. It says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." In other words, the minute that I judge, I'm judging me.
That's right. I want to thank you for that insight, Brian. You know, because the statement I made before came from a judgmental perspective, which I have no right to do. So I cancel that, and I thank you for that insight.
See, that's that, and that beauty in you, what you just modeled, okay, what you just modeled in that moment, it's not only one of the things that I love so much about you anyway, but you just modeled something that everyone that hears this program can see the transparency and the commitment and the desire for rapid transformation that you live, okay? I had someone spend 3 months working with me to assist me. When I had my breakthrough, I had someone spend 3 months assisting me to step into this place where judgment literally doesn't happen anymore inside of me.
Mm.
And so I don't, when someone does, I don't judge them. I look at them and I say, you know what? If they're ready for me to point that out, I will. I know you are, Daphne. So that's, you know, that's why I said it. So that's so beautiful what you just did. It really is beautiful and inspiring to me.
Yes.
So, and notice when we say, the minute we say that word, something inside of us goes, oh, because that's me, right? There's just one person. But here's what they did. In fact, Daphne, I'll tell you what, if I may, you can help me stay on track with my story. I have a potential gift to share with every listener, my dear. Okay? This is one of the most valuable.
We still have an hour, so go ahead.
All right. Well, this is one of the most transformational, beneficial, healing things I ever got in my life. And it's really a blend of several things that I learned over many, many years, and that is when I look at someone who does what they do. Now, Brian, are you talking about terrorists? Oh, yeah. But, Brian, are you talking about the woman who drowned her kids? Oh, yeah. But Brian, come on, we all got to agree that it's horrible and bad and terrible that so-and-so did so-and-so. Well, no, we don't actually have to agree that. But you're welcome to agree with that if you want to live a miserable life. But I'll tell you, here's what I have learned. If I had had the childhood that person had, and if I had learned what they learned, and if I believed to be true, everything they believed to be true, and I had their experience that led up to that moment, I would have done exactly what they did.
Yes, you would have manifested the very same.
Yep.
What they say, unless you walk in somebody's moccasin, you shouldn't be saying anything, right?
That's right, because you don't know what they feel or what they think.
That's
right. But you can butt all you want. You'll have butt all over you, because I'm not going there. It's not my place. It makes me miserable. And one of my greatest mentors, Byron Katie, says there's three kinds of business you can be in. You can be in your business, or you can be in God's business, or you can be in your neighbor's business. There's no other business you can be in. And the only one that you're going to be happy in is yours. And God, when you're in God's business, you're saying there shouldn't be war. There shouldn't be this. It shouldn't be, really? Well, you might better wake up, because all your shoulds, or you just should all over yourself, because the world is the way it is. If you want to change it, If you have a preference, do it. But as far as saying it shouldn't be that way, or you're sticking in God's business, you change what you can change. But don't be talking about what's good and bad, because that's none of your business. And as far as being in your neighbor's business is when you tell them, and like that word greedy, right? That's now in their business saying what they were being. What they were being in that moment was they were, number one, they were doing what they felt they had to do. But here's the most beautiful part, Daphne. Not only did it happen then, but about 6 months later, so I was desperate. I lost all everything I had. They took me for $103,000. And I was wiped out. I was devastated. I was actually just in the process of waiting. They were supposed to be sending me $36,000, and they cut me out. They cut me out of all my money, so I didn't get that check. I'm sitting here now, all of a sudden, penniless. And so I spent the next 3 months trying to find another manufacturer who could come through and fulfill the order. I traveled. I went to Florida. I found another manufacturer. Spent some time with them. They went into R&D and froze their spending and couldn't help me. But now I had gone extra months, and I was getting into deep debt. And I found another company that said, you know, I understand what happened, Brian. And this guy said, I would really like to fund you, and let's I want to get in that industry anyway, so let's do this. So we started a company. I went out. I did several million dollars. He took me for over $100,000, and he took several of my clients for money. Well, this happened 7 times with me getting in debt, each time getting in debt more and more and more and more and more. And so finally, this is where leading up to my first big revelation, I made this decision. I said, you know, I can't take this anymore. And I've lost 6 figures 7 times. I'm 6 figures in debt now, and I've got to find out what's going on. And so check this out. Now, this is another one of those miracles that happened along the way. And Daphne, I've never even shared this on any of the webinars or anything, so you haven't had a chance to hear anything about this yet. I was sitting on the floor. I had someone who loved me very much that said, Brian, it sounds to me like you might be ready for some help here. You might be ready to listen. I've noticed something about you, and that is that when things start to go good, you always say, I wonder what's going to go bad now.
Wow.
When things go bad, you say, isn't that ironic? You know, isn't that what always happens? You know, I'm late for work already. I spilled coffee on my shirt. And she said, so Brian, I've noticed that you do that. Do you think that might have anything to, like that constant habit in your mind? Do you think that might have? Well, I didn't know anything about this advanced spiritual stuff back then, but I just said, you know what, maybe. So I sat down and I started meditating. And I had this moment. Now I'm going to share a vision with you and your listeners. And if you will, you might even want to relax and see this, okay? So I saw inside of myself, I saw this wide open space with pure white light. There was nothing in it but just white light. I couldn't even tell where it was coming from. It was almost like it was coming from everywhere. And then as I looked down in this vision, I saw this black, pitch black, like a lake, but there was no ripples or anything. It was just like this black surface going off into the distance forever in every direction. So you got the image. There's pure white light in this one place, filling the whole space, but under it is this black lake. Now, I didn't know it was like black oil or something. I didn't know if it was an inch thick or 100 million miles deep. I didn't know. But that's what I saw. And as I was sitting there in that moment, I heard the words, and I saw this thing lifting up out of the black oil. And I heard the words, one step forward and two steps back. I'm in this deep meditation. I didn't understand what was happening. What is this? And as I heard the words and this shape came out of the black oil into the light, I heard those words, one step forward and two steps back. And it dissolved and it disappeared, and I felt like something inside of me just kind of let go. And before I could even think, it happened again. I saw something moving up out of the black in the light, and it was, no matter what you do, it's never enough. And it rose up into the light. And as it hit the light, it kind of shook and dissolved. And I felt like something let go. Well, about that time, my mind was starting to be able to work again. And I was kind of like, what is this? I'm getting a clue about what this is. Before I could think, it happened again. Under the black oil, this thing was rising up out of it. And it said, it's just not fair.
Wow.
And then, like, so these things came out, and as I came to consciousness of it, I realized what had happened was the beliefs in scarcity that were vibrating as little magnets in my mother's body when she was pregnant had gotten into my vibration. We are electrical, magnetic, infinite beings showing up as what we call human. Remember what I said? Now I said the words that we use. It's not the word that's the problem. It's all those connotations and all those other ideas that we have attached unconsciously to the words. So when we say human, we usually say only human. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm not only human. Understand? I am human.
Human. That's right. That's right. That's right.
I'm not only human. I'm not just human. Okay? And so what happened in that moment was the beliefs that had been vibrating in my mother's body, and they came out of her mouth 100,000 times when I was a child. Those beliefs became a part of my electromagnetic body and my field, and they were driving my results.
Ooh, this is good. I tell you, Brian, we have somebody from Trinidad on the show now. We have somebody from Jamaica on the show. So we are pulling from around the world, my brother. And I tell you, Brian, there's so much to tell. And I know we are going to kind of move forward because I want people to check the link I'm putting in the chat room, which is http://discoverwhy.org. And you will hear a lot more about the story. But we have 52 minutes remaining. So I want to go forward, Brian, if it's okay with you.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about from homelessness to Hawaii in 90 days.
Perfect.
Talk to me, brother. How did that happen?
Well, that's perfect timing, as always, okay? So you see what had happened. I went through those seven different what people would often call disaster at the hands of what people would often call, you know, greedy, selfish other people that did those things to me, and I was a victim. That was the story. That was the picture. And that's what led to me ended up being homeless. And so after that seventh event, I was in this place. I looked at my wife and I said, you know, I'm not going to make another nickel. I am not going to make another dime until I know how this was me. Because I can tell you that if I went to a courtroom and I got lined up with these seven terrible, greedy, horrible people that took me for this money, I would win every case. I could sue every one of them. Blah, 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 blah. But you know what? Mm-hmm. When I look in the mirror, somehow I know it was me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I did it, but I know I'm the only one in common. I was the only one at the scene of the crime all seven times, right? So that was me. And not only that, but I know what I'm here to do, and I know that I can live a much richer, more exciting, abundant, awesome life, but I can't do it if I repeat this cycle again. So I said, I am going to not, you might leave me or whatever, okay, but I'm not going to make another dime. We're six figures in debt. They already came and took the Mercedes. They're going to be coming to take the house. but I can't and I won't make another nickel until I find out how this is me and I turn this around.
Mm.
And she said, well, you know, if you study the people, not people that are born rich, but if you study the people who become billionaires from nothing, if you study the people who become multimillionaires from nothing and last, 80% of them have been homeless twice.
Thank God she was a smart woman. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She said, I already know we're billionaires, so here's the deal. If we have to live in a cardboard box for a while, you do what you got to do.
That's
so
right.
So here's what I did. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so now this is where I really want everybody to start really digging in and really listen to the meat of this story. So here's what I did. I lived in South Carolina at that time, and I put on a pair of tennis shoes in the morning, and I would go out hot summer. I put on my backpack, get a jug of water, a little bit of food, and I would go walk from sun up until sundown, and I would find a place in nature where I could meditate for a little while and contemplate. But for 4 months, I held this question in my mind, how did I create this? Now, if you've ever wanted to change your life and you took a little effort but you quit before you got there, listen to me. 4 months, I held that question in my mind and I would not let it go. How did I create this? How is this me? I'm not going to say greedy anymore. I'm not going to blame them anymore. I'm not going to call them names anymore. I'm not going to tell the story about what they did to me. I'm saying, how did I do this? And at one point, I was sitting in the woods, and I had this revelation come up that said, Brian, you're a stupid, ugly, worthless piece of shit.
Mm.
Of course they had to take that money from you. They really did, like, this, you couldn't have that money. You could not believe you're a stupid, ugly, worthless piece of shit and have that money. So I'm going to step out of my story for a moment, and I'm going to ask you that are listening, what do you believe about yourself? Look at your results. Look at the areas where you keep getting the results that you don't want, and ask yourself, what do I believe? And are you willing to accept the possibility that what you believe is what is reaching out into your world and creating these things for you rather than blaming it on the people? Okay, so now I'm back into my story.
Mm-hmm.
So as I had this revelation, then I knew I wasn't out of it, but I knew I had made a big breakthrough. So for the next 3 weeks, the revelation started to center on my own beliefs. And then one day I had this miracle. I was sitting in the woods in deep, deep, deep meditation. And guys and gals, you got to hear this now, because I'm telling you, this is the button that changes. This is the easy button that changes everything. We talked about intuition. So I was sitting there in the woods, deep, deep meditation, and I'm, how is it me? I understand my self-esteem. I know that I was using my low self-esteem, my beliefs, and I was attracting, but how exactly did I do it so I can never do it again? How did I do it? How did I do it? Full intensity. And I had this moment where the last person that I worked with that took me for this money, he showed up in front of me as if, instead of being in the woods meditating, I was right back in that moment on our first meeting. It was so amazing. And I looked in his eyes, and I heard him ask me a specific question. And when he asked it, I knew that I was with the wrong person.
Wow.
My gut said to me, Daphne, my gut, as clear as a bell, it wasn't words, but my gut said, get up and run. This is not going to work. This guy is not going to be honest with you. I knew it like, you know, when the sun rises in a dark night, when you see that light come on, it was as clear as any bell you ever heard ringing.
Yes.
My mind said, but Brian, you're... It didn't say these words. It said, Brian, you're stupid, ugly, worthless piece of shit.
Mm.
You don't have any money. You're sick.
That's right.
In debt. You better stay. You better make this work. You can help. You can fix it. You can do it. Like my mind always did. And you know, guess which one I listened to, friends? Did I listen to my gut and my heart, or did I listen to my mind in fear?
That's
you know
right.
What I did. Mm. And guess what? did. Guess what it did? It took me for six figures, and three multi-billion dollar companies lost thousands of dollars because of it.
Mm.
So I couldn't blame anybody else. Well, then this he vanished. When I got the lesson, when I got the gift, he vanished out of my sight, and in his place was the previous partner that took me for 6 months of blood, sweat, and tears and over $100,000, showed up in front of my eyes, and the moment that we were talking, 3 weeks into our relationship, when my gut said, I felt it, sitting in the woods meditating, it was like I was there with him, and I felt my gut say, Brian, he's not going to keep his word. Go ahead and listen to me. But my mind said, you can hear it, right?
Yep.
And you got to make this money. And what are you going to do? And I doubted the infinite possibilities of this universe and the infinite perfection of what is, and I listened to fear. So in those next, in those next few hours sitting there in those woods, I faced all seven of those people. And
wow.
The exact moment, the exact precise moment when my gut told me to leave and I acted in fear and scarcity instead of following my intuition. And in that moment, sitting there, before I got up from the woods, I knew that I was, quote, delivered or saved, or I had my breakthrough.
You got your breakthrough. You got your breakthrough.
Yep.
Brian.
Yep.
I want to ask you this question.
Yep.
Your new discovery and the path on the journey that you have now chose to follow and to raise up, as a matter of fact, I see it as a revolution. How does this influence and transform the way that entrepreneurs do business?
Beautiful question. Well, okay, then I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Daphne. This is really cool. The next little phase of the story really models that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use the next phase of the story to share that with you, okay?
Here's
what happened. I got up out of those woods knowing that I had my breakthrough. Understand that I was six figures in debt. And I had no money.
Mm-hmm.
And they had already taken the house. We had a few more days before we had to move out of it. And so here comes homeless now. I began a little tiny little company with a partner with no money. And over the next 4 years, now it didn't have to take 4 years. I can show someone now how to do it in a few hours. But
right.
I was reinventing my life. I was reinventing myself. But before I walked out of those woods, honey, I made a commitment right there. And that was, for the rest of my life, as long as I live, I will never ignore my intuition again. Not only that, I will consciously, intentionally cultivate my intuition from this moment forward. And so I would say right now, if anybody, any entrepreneur, wants to revolutionize their industry and immediately rise to preeminence, not to beat or compete, that's old. We don't need that anymore. We don't need competition anymore. We don't need battle. We don't need to win. What you do is you do the best you can do to achieve what you want to experience, and everything will be all right. But so what I did for the next 4 years was, I learned to listen to my intuition a little bit more every day, and I went through, for the next 4 years, that same cycle that I had of meeting someone, starting a company, and having it go, quote, bad. It happened about six more times over the next 4 years, but nobody ever lost any money. It was like I knew when it was time, okay, it's time to leave, not be with this person anymore. Okay, it's time to change and do something different. I followed that intuition. And what I see now is that I was being groomed and conditioned, if you want to call it that, for what I do today. So here's like the last piece of that whole story, and here's the homeless of Hawaii. 7 months ago, Okay, 8 months ago now. Time is flying. It was January the 3rd, and I was in Van Nuys, California, and I was homeless. I was making a little bit of money, and I was living on mostly borrowed money, and I was in a very smoggy city I didn't want to be in, and I was working with another company, helping them. They had no money, but they were wanting to build something, and I felt my intuition told me to be there, and I was there. I was always able to eat, okay? So even though I still hadn't made my six figures, I was still six figures in debt, but I was always able to eat and feed the people that I loved, and that was what mattered most. I was following my intuition, and I was on the phone with a friend who I had been mentoring for a couple months, and Daphne, you heard him on the webinar.
On the webinar, yes.
Tyler, and I had been mentoring him for a few months, and Tyler said to me, Brian, he said, I have been with great mentors for years, and I've been in California, Southern California, the hotbed of self-development my whole life, he said, and I've always pursued transformation and passion and a transformed life, and he said, but I have never experienced anything like you. The way your wisdom and your intelligence and your brilliance, and you're so loving and you're so caring. And as he was saying these words to me, we were on the phone, and I was just crying, listening. And something in me was saying, I'm not that good. I'm not that good. He can't be talking about me. He doesn't really know me. You know I helped him, and I know that I've shared some light with him, and I've shared some transformation. I know he's had some, you know, progress in his life. And then this moment came, Daphne. This was a shining moment. This was the breakthrough. This was the breakthrough that broke all the breakthroughs. I felt inside of myself something said, and just once again, I don't want to shock anybody, but something in me yelled, bullshit. Stop this right now. Stop it right now. Brian, you know that what he's saying is true. Why are you still holding it back? Why are you still doubting yourself? You know this. And in that moment, Daphne, listen to this phrase now. In that moment, I let go of the word almost, and I picked up the word already. Here's what I mean by that. This world teaches us. Our religions teach us, our governments teach us, our school systems teach us, and the paradigms that are operating in the minds, the paradigms that operate in the minds of the people in this world have an old, old, old idea. And it boils down to nobody's perfect, and you can get what you want, but it's going to be a struggle. And it all comes down to the word almost. I'm almost there. I can feel my money. It's right around the corner. I can have it. I'm so close. I'm right on the verge. Oh, it's right around the corner. I'm making progress. I'm getting so close. And it keeps what you want always out of reach. That's what almost does. And in that moment that I was, when I was listening to Tyler, I realized, you know what? Forget almost. Already. I'm already there. I'm here.
Already.
That infinite one that shows up.
I'm already a multimillionaire. That's right. I'm already successful.
Here I am.
I'm already healthy. That's right.
Yes, I'm perfect now. And you know what? If there's anything in my life that isn't the way I want it, the money or the health, if anything isn't the way I want it, I'm still already that perfect energy that there's no mistake.
Exactly.
Isn't
that what is categorized as our infinite who we are?
Yes. Yes. The minute I accepted the infinite who I am, hey, listen, I might still have some warts, you know. I might have some extra weight on my body, or I may be skinny. I may not have the money I want. I may still want to learn a new language to be able to do something in my career, but that doesn't change the fact that I'm infinite right now.
Right now.
I can't do anything now already.
Woo! I tell you.
Oh my God, Daphne, when that moment happened, when mine already happened, check this out.
Wonderful.
I had, I had cultivated a relationship. I cultivated a relationship with a gentleman who had generated $114 million on the internet. He was starting a new venture, and he had asked me for my opinion about his product. I gave him my opinion. The next day, now follow me close, ladies and gentlemen, on what I'm about to tell you. When I accepted already in my bones, I got a call the next day. He was paying for me to go on an all-expense-paid 8-day cruise in the Caribbean with his company as his vice president. He asked me if I would be the vice president of the company the next day. So two days later, I better tell this story. So we called to get me on the cruise, and we found out all the seats were gone. And the guy was like, no, listen, it doesn't matter. They always have extra cabins that they hold back. You call them back. So we called back. No, actually, this time there was a big group of 400-something people that joined at the last moment. There are no cabins. There's no way. Wait a minute. What? Oh, somebody just canceled? Oh. Okay, you can go. So here it was 3 days after that moment that I said already, I had been flown to Florida, and I'm walking on board the Carnival cruise ship, and the name of the ship is The Miracle.
Woo! I love it.
Okay, and on that
already.
Cruise,
woo!
I'm already, honey, and on that cruise, I met and built relationships with some of the most amazing people. Now, that company that I was working with at that time ended up, they ran through so many deadline problems that over these last several months, I helped them as much as I possibly could. I helped them make $100,000, and I did everything in my power to assist them, but there's some things going on at that company that just haven't formulated. And so about 2 months ago, my intuition said to me, Brian, you can get back involved with them once they solve their software issues if you want to, but right now it's time for you to do what you came to this world to do.
Brian, stick a pin. I want to. Cynthia, thank you, Cynthia says, so it is. When you mention about the already versus almost, she says, yes, it is so. I want to welcome Prophetess Gibson. I want to welcome my daughter-in-law, Vanna from Jamaica. Welcome. I'm glad you make it to the show, and she's so excited about that. I want to welcome her to the show and into my family. You know, I only have one son. No, I have a son and a daughter, and I'm very excited about that. You guys will be seeing a lot of her on the show here because she's going to be working alongside me. Oh, Brian, we have a call. Just hold the line.
All right.
Caller, good morning. You're on the air live. Welcome to the A New Day Show. I think they're going to call back. They accidentally got disconnected. Yes, Prophetess Gibson, the number, we would love to hear you call in. The number is 646-915-8166. We would welcome any feedback. My daughter-in-law says, you are blessed. He is blessed. Oh, she's excited to be here. She says everything is good. So it's a wonderful thing. Cynthia, let's hear from you, my sister. Guest 318, thank you for hanging in. You have been here from before we went live, so this means that this is good. We have another half an hour still on, so lots of time to get your questions in. Tweet your friends, rush over to Facebook quickly, and let people know that the revolution is on. If they're looking to be unstuck, they need to be listening to this segment right here, right now. We already are hot already, I'm telling you. Woo! All right, Brian, you still there, my brother?
Oh, I am more here than I have ever been.
All right. So, you went on the cruise ship, all expense paid. three days after you toss all most of the wind and say, hey, already, come on and be part of me.
That's right.
What happened when you got that call to go on the ship? What did your honey say?
Well, it's what's so funny about this is that we both were following intuition so much. I mean, that we were in this place of, okay, we accept that this universe is infinite. We accept that God is beyond any ideas that we have. Okay, all the religious ideas surrounding us, they don't even start to come close. So we accepted the possibility of anything happening. And don't get me wrong, we were jumping up and down and dancing and excited and happy, but it wasn't that big of a surprise because we both knew, well, you know, here it comes. This has been coming a long time. And so you know, I look back at that flow of homeless to 3 days later. I mean, instantly I was unstuck. It was over. It took me 4 years of reinventing myself. It doesn't take that for everybody. In fact, Daphne, we may talk about this, the experience that you had, and you actually referred someone who I did a phone call with yesterday morning who had a massive, complete life breakthrough in about an hour and 15 minutes on the phone with me. She called me last night at midnight and said, oh, Brian, it's already shifted, buddy. It's already shifted.
If I may, I told people it's a little less than a week I've met you, and you and I had one call because I am inundated with requests on the internet to join this, do that, because people look on my following on the radio. I have large numbers. I have large numbers on Facebook, and all of a sudden, people see it as a multi-level engine machine. However, I know that I'm called to transform the world, and that's the reason why these people are attracted to what I do. On here and on the local TV show. And I knew I needed a breakthrough, and I said, I'm going to just connect with this person. I heard what Tyler said on the webinar about you. I listened to all the other people. I read what my friend Willie Crawford wrote on there. And I said, well, now if you believe so much in what he does and you want to sell this and be part of it, you got to test it. Because, you know, it's like going to a restaurant. If you're going to recommend somebody there, you got to try the food. You can't just say, well, I think the sign looks good, and I see people well-dressed walking out of there, so it must be a good restaurant. No, I won't tell you. Let me tell you something. I went in that restaurant. I ate XYZ, and my plate was clean when I left. I don't think I had to put it in the dishwasher. And that's how I felt. So you guys can look on my Facebook page at what I wrote. I had one session with Brian. And I got to tell you, I've made some good money in this life. I can't say that I kept any of it. As a matter of fact, I used to feel that the money was running from me. It came into the bank account and woo, it began running a marathon. And I tell you something, one session with Brian, and I literally felt the chains broke off. It was like shackles that I had that was chaining me. There was these phrases that I used to use around my money. And I tell you, I think it was like 20 minutes in the conversation, Brian told me, bullshit. You realize what you're doing to yourself and everything? And listen, the light bulb went off. It's like something popped out my skull. And I said, good God. Girl, look what you've been doing to yourself. And I said, Brian, us now is a divine connection for the shift that has taken place in my life. if we had connected maybe 2 or 3 years ago, maybe I wasn't ready. But you know something? You could not have turned up at a better time, because I am ready for you. I'm ready for your system. I'm ready for the I already have the transformation. Because if you go back to that first segment I had on this show, when I said I'm committing this show to change the world by transforming one life at a time. I didn't come on Blog Talk Radio to promote Daphne Clark Hudson, Dynamic Daphne, the Queen of the Empowered Soul, the Empress of Empowered Soul, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson. I didn't come on the TV and on the radio for any of this. I came here because I know I was created to transform the world. And I want to thank you for this breakthrough, Brian, that I had this past call that I was on with you. Thanks to you, I know where my money is right now. I'll manifest it when I chose to, for and for what I chose to. So I just want to thank you for what you're doing. And for you to believe so much in my listeners to come on the air and to invest in them and to add value.
Wow. Thank you, Daphne. I'm very grateful to do it. And really, this is what I do. You know, I literally don't think about money anymore. Don't get me wrong. I'm here to have a wealthy, abundant experience. Just like I said, now we're told not to toot our own horn, right? Oh, don't blow your own horn. Don't brag. Bullshit. I am in this world to tell my truth, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it.
That's right.
If you say what you are and you say your truth and the people around you tell you to tone down, you relocate, baby. You find
That's
the people.
Right.
Because somewhere on this world, there's a million people that don't want to hear nothing but you singing, okay? And it's the same way about money, because there's a lesson in this world. There's millions of people in this world who tell you, oh, you don't want to make money. I'm not here to make money. I'm here to just help other people. Well, baby, you better get some damn money if you want to help some people. So it's like the whole myth, the whole lie. Don't say you're here for money. Listen, I find that it is more fun to be able to go to the beach than the gutter.
That's
more fun. I'm able to reach more people when I'm happy, you know. Mm-hmm. And when the money's flowing, you can do so much more. Now, do I put money above people? Of course not. Money is just a tool. Boy, life is so much more fun when you have it. So I'm not going to play games. I definitely enjoy that. But I literally spend more of my time every day, every week, every month just giving free assistance than I ever do making money. And I'll do that for the rest of my life. One of my goals is to be able to give away 90% of my income as opposed to 10% of my income.
Mm-hmm.
You're not able to do that. And don't get me wrong, now, it's not because people need my money. Remember that part of our call, Daphne?
Yes.
And I had that on the call that I did yesterday. Almost every call that I do, one of the things that comes up in the person is, but Brian, I want to help people. And I say, really, do they need your help? And without exception, they say, yeah, they need my help. And I say, well, then you're a prisoner. Because if you accept the fact that you are infinite and you have unlimited potential, then don't you think they do too? They don't need your help, baby. They're playing their game. They're an unlimited, infinite being that came here in this world to play their game. Might they benefit from your assistance lovingly? Yeah. But if you think that they need your help, you're stuck. So nobody needs my help either. But I sure do love assisting people who are ready for it and who want it and have a blast loving each other and assisting each other to get to the next level. It's a whole different energy that we're approaching it from. And Daphne, that's what's alive in you. with this radio show and everything else that you're doing. And the moment that you laid down that they needed your help, you opened up your money again.
You felt it. You know, it's so amazing because as entrepreneurs, we hold ourselves back from so many different angles. And talking about intuition and paying attention to intuition, you know, we've been pulling this powerful team together for the past 4.5 months for the conference coming up. And I was going into Danbury this past Friday for a meeting. And I'm going down and I hear Vision Transformation Revolution. And I play my music loud. You know, a lot of times I pull up at the stop sign and I see the young people looking at me. And I think they say, whoa, mother is rocking, you know. And I toned the music down, I lowered it, and I kept focusing on that. And all of a sudden, I realized that that is the slogan and marketing for the conference. And I said, look on that. All I got to do, I already know I'm ready. And look on what is happening. The minute you claim that you're ready, you're not, it's not someday, it's not later. I am ready right now. Already I'm ready. I'm here. That's why I'm ready. And all these things of clarity is just falling into place. It's just falling into place. I Brian, I don't know if you want to respond to something I just said. However, we have 18 minutes. So after you respond, I want to have you just summarize and give a few points that you want people to hold on to, because, man, did we get a lot. And I'm asking, where did the time go? And already I am putting the link in the chat room where people can go and get more information. And if you want to be in on one of the webinars that Brian is doing, of course they are free, and it's a added value and an investment in you. So it's, I put the link in http://discoverwhy.org. So just make sure you visit there and you can get all other information. You'll see some DVD from Brian and some YouTube stuff. I tell you, the brother is all over the place. So questions, guys, 646-915-8166. We are winding down. Or if you're in the chat room and have a question, please write it in there. So, yes, Brian. Yeah, I don't know if you want to reply to any, respond to anything I said, and then also your closing remarks, please.
Beautiful. You and I are in such really close and tight sync, Daphne. That as you were saying that, I felt a response come up, and then right then you said, you know. So I don't know if you want to respond to that. Well, I got something that this is going to, without a doubt, it's going to bless everybody who hears this now and everybody who hears the recording later. And that is, so here I go, okay? I'm willing now to accept already. I'm willing. And so I said, I'm going to do this thing. But what's going to happen immediately is that mind, M-I-N-D, is going to show up, and it's going to say, yeah, but. The mind's job is to navigate for you. So you are the infinite being. You're the infinite unlimited being. You're a creative electrical magnetic being who shows up in this world. And in my view and in my understanding, the infinite one, the one that is, that we, you know, many call God, Yahweh, it's all good to me. For me, I just call it the infinite one or the infinite being. I don't like to put labels on it and make somebody else's name right or wrong. But that one that is, it is more than we can think. The human mind does not have the ability to reach far enough to actually understand what that being is. So there's no point trying, and all of our wars and all of our fighting and all our arguing about it is really kind of sad and funny, because it makes no sense. We don't have the ability to be right about this. It is beyond right and wrong, okay? So
right.
So that one is, and it shows up as the universe, because what is an infinite one going to make a universe out of? Plato? No, it makes it out of the energy that it is. So here we are showing up in this world with these infinite abilities, more than we've ever given ourselves even the ability to even admit to ourselves. In our society, we're surrounded by people telling us not to do it. So when we finally do and we step up, our mind is going to offer some resistance and some argument. It's going to say, yeah, but is that safe? Yeah, but how can I? And I don't even know how to. And what I find the greatest thing that we can learn to do, once we commit to intuition, once we commit to listening to that voice inside, we know that mind is going to come up and offer its junk. So what we do is we learn to say, hey, mind, I understand. I let go of the steering wheel, and I made you drive, and you don't even qualify to drive. You don't have the ability to drive. All you can do is fly me in a circle. So let's use this model that wherever we are is homeless, and where we want to get to is Hawaii, because that was my little thing. I went from homeless to Hawaii. So let's pretend that wherever you are now that you don't want to be is homeless, and where you want to get is your Hawaii. Well, you're on the way there, and you're flying, and you have the ability to get there. But you let mind drive, and mind will put you in a circle. It'll jerk the wheel to the right, and that plane will fly in a circle over Hawaii forever and never be able to land, because the mind can't take you there. Your intuition, the voice of truth, whatever you want to call it, can get you there. Mind can only navigate and judge distance. So your mind is a great tool. If you have to pee, this is very technical for a spiritual call, right? If you have to pee and you say, you know, I'm sitting here working, I need to work for about 5 more minutes. Will my bladder make it 5 more minutes, or do I need to go now? Right? That's a practical life.
That's right.
Your mind will feel it, and your mind will say, you know what? I can go 5 more minutes. Or maybe you're in your car and you're going to make a left turn, but there's cars coming both ways, and you say, hey, mind, do I have time, or is that car going too fast? Do I need to wait a few more seconds? That's the job of your mind. But deciding what you want to do with your life, deciding what to do next, following intuition is above the mind. It is you. It is what you truly are, that one that shows up, the infinite, unlimited being. That's the one who makes those choices. And when you begin to drive again, rather than letting your mind drive out of those habitual beliefs, those unconscious, life's tough, life is hard, there's never enough, one step forward and 2 steps back, rich people are selfish, greedy bastards, all that garbage running inside of your mind, when you say, you know what, intuition leads, I drive, I want to experience creating this. And when you mean it, your mind will fall into its place and begin to navigate. And you'll have this feeling where your mind says, oh, boss, I'm so glad you're back, because it was so hard driving in that circle. And I know you didn't like getting the same results flying in that same circle over and over again, but please don't ask me to drive again. You drive. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice your power will return. Your vision mm-hmm. will return. Your ability to know what to do in the moment will come right back. And then when your mind offers, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, you say, mind, I thought we already had this conversation. Get back mm-hmm. in your place, and you navigate. I drive.
So I just want to interject here. You know, putting it simple, people, use your mind only as your GPS, and you get back in the driver's seat. This is powerful. This
yep,
is powerful.
That's it.
Go ahead, Brian.
But you said it beautifully. You drive. And guess who I'm talking to? You.
Mm-hmm.
You drive this thing. And how do you drive? The most powerful tool that I can possibly hand to you. And the odds are high that you're going to underestimate it, because mind will be grabbing and saying, is that true? Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? Mind,
yep.
You don't know what's true. Shut up.
Yep.
It's not your job to know what's true, mind. Your job is to say, can I use this to make my life better or not?
Exactly. Because
so
what you do in the GPS, the GPS will do nothing unless you put a destination in there. So
right on, baby. That's it.
Once you put that destination in there, all he has to do is to tell you which direction to turn to go there, because that's the destination you choose for that. If you want to make some stops in between, you will go back and put those destination in there. Woo! Now, guys, you see why you have got to be at the conference, because you don't want to not do business the way that you choose to. Okay, let me see what somebody say. Well, how does it feel now when you look back on where... Okay, how does it feel now when you look back on where you are coming from with your life?
All right, that is such a gorgeous question. And the answer to that is it feels perfect. I look back at my entire life. I look back at the abused childhood, and it's perfect. I would not change one single thing. I look back at the 7 times of losing everything. I wouldn't change one second of it, because those things are what made this perfect, miraculous moment that I'm in, that I get to share this with you from that perspective that I could never have had I not gone through that. I literally see the universe and the world and everything in it and everyone in it as perfect now.
Mm.
And no limits, no problems. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing to fix in this world. Yeah, but Brian, what about the hungry people? Sweetheart, you don't know that they didn't choose to come and have this experience. You do not know that. Okay?
Wow.
Now, we got a few more minutes. I want to answer any questions, but I have one real final critical point I want to make. For those
okay.
who are...
We have 7 minutes. I would encourage you, Brian, if you choose, go into the important point. And if the question comes, if I would please be allowed to interrupt you.
Right on. And we will welcome that question. So here, this is the single most important thing I can say to you. So here's what we got. We got that what happened, we can accept it as perfect and not judge it. We've got that when someone else does something, I can judge them as bad or wrong or selfish or greedy or horrible, call them a name, a backstabber, whatever, and I put myself in prison with them, and now we're both stuck. And we covered that intuition is the thing that opens everything. So now we come up to this high point in this conversation of, wait a minute, so you mean I can say already, and then I don't have to let my mind drive anymore. I can drive, and I can go anywhere I want. How do I know where to go? This is the power tool right here.
Mm.
And most people don't have the guts to ask it. And you will find out when you go to ask this question, your mind is going to say, that's too simple, that's too... Well, mind, shut up, because you don't know.
That's right.
I'm not talking to your mind, friends. I'm talking to you, the real you. I want you to get a piece of paper. If you want to live the life of your dreams, get a piece of paper and a pen, and I want you to write this question down. It'll be the most challenging thing you've ever done in your life. What do I most want to experience? And you start with when I wake up. And I hear the birds singing. And now you write out, where are you waking up? And what kind of person are you waking up with? And how do you feel waking up? And what do you do first? And what do you do second? And what do you eat for breakfast? And who do you eat it with? And who are you going to meet with later? Now, as you write out this amazing thing that you want to experience as the most perfect day you could even imagine, you will include the kind of environment you are in. Is it a tropical paradise, or is it a desert situation, or is it a cool place in the mountains by a lake? But what you don't write is any possessions. because an infinite being doesn't really want any possessions. We get programmed by the TV and all these other things. I threw my TV away 12 years ago. I haven't watched a minute of it in 12 years. When you put it, don't think about the things that you think you want, because I'm going to tell you a secret. You don't want those. You want the experience
of the thing.
You don't want the money. So don't put a number on the money. You don't want the money. You want the experience that you think the money's going to bring. So if you will write out what I most want to experience, and from here on, that is your practice every day. You can write it out in the morning. You can one time write out your perfect day. But then from then on, in the moment, you think, what do I want to experience now? Man, I want to be happy. What I want to experience now? I want to be close to someone I love. What I want to experience now? Focus on what you want to experience, and you will turn your infinite power from, instead of flying in circles around Hawaii, eating
Brian.
Dry vegetables. That's
Ooh,
it.
Brian, may yeah. I disturb, this deserve a disturbing moment. One of my Facebook friends from Ghana who is on, he says, Brian is a life-changing genius.
Wow, thank you very much, my friend. And you know what? I have enough heart to receive that.
That's right.
I receive that. Thank you very much. And if you can see that in me, then so are you.
Yes, I. Woo! The light. The light is on, Brian. The light is on. It is shining in Jamaica, in Trinidad and Tobago, in the United States, and I don't know where else all the listeners and callers are this for this episode. But the light is shining. And Bright, I want to tell you, Bright Williams, visit the link. I put the link there in the chat room, http://discovery.org. You got to visit it. You got to visit it, everybody. Check the link out. The light is shining, Brian. I'm telling you. It is.
I see it, honey, and I feel. Hey, you know, check this out, guys. I'm sitting here in Hawaii, and I'm as we had this phone call from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. my time. The sun is just coming over the edge of a mountain right now. The light is just hitting the sky, and you said the light is shining. Just as I looked up at it, we're all one, my friends.
This is
reality. This is the one light shining and us recognizing together. You mean I don't have to be limited anymore? I don't have to be small anymore? I don't have to listen to the people that tell me that I can't? No, that's right. You don't have to. You make your choice now.
Wow. Brian, this was powerful, my brother. We'll have to do it again. We will do it again. I want to encourage everybody. Here's the link again, guys. I want you to go right there, sign up for the free webinar where you can get so much more of Brian with the PowerPoint. You listen to the testimonials and everything. Oh, what an honor, what a privilege that we chose to spend this time together. For my listeners all over the world, thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, visit discoverwhy.org to sign up for this, to get more of this, what you just got here. And two words, Brian, before I go into my closing song. I want you to listen to this song, Brian. Okay? So you have two words you want to say, my brother, before you go?
Three words I want to say to everybody. Three words.
Yes.
I love you. I love you.
I love you, Brian. And I see the light in you. I see the light in all of my listeners. And I want to remind you that you were created for brilliance.
What's the plan now? call it destiny, will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to, the thing I'm set aside to do? I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Try